We'll take our bulletin this morning, and we'll sing our opening chorus. I'd like to ask Eddie Wright, if you would, open us up in a word of prayer this morning, please, sir. Yes. Amen. Well, let's stand this morning, and if you have your bulletin in your hand, we have a course over there on the right-hand side of the bulletin. Anybody need a bulletin this morning? Anybody got one? Aiden, you need one? Go over and get one and bring some for somebody else if they need it. Raise your hand. Aiden will be a gentleman this morning and bring it to you if you need one. All right. Grab a couple and take them over there. Right here they are. All right, let's stand to our feet this morning and let's sing Forever.
C.S. Spurgeon, the quote right there under the order of service, the highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of the child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. I hope that's your approach. I hope that is your mindset. Some announcements for this coming week, starting with this evening, 6 o'clock, we'll be meeting at Pastor and Missy's home. Bring your favorite finger time food. I think that includes Hershey bar, marshmallow, and granola. Graham cracker, I mean. Yeah. Bring your favorite food, 6 o'clock, and do not forget a chair. Do not forget a chair or a blanket if you want to sprawl. What's that?
Coconut cream pie. I think that's
Thursday, 6:30, choir ensemble practice. Deacons have a business meeting this Tuesday at 6:30. This Wednesday, the 27th, this Wednesday will be, July is just about gone. Had a great month, though, haven't we? Vacation Bible school, recovering from vacation Bible school, worshiping, praying for those individuals who got saved at vacation Bible school, getting back into our Sunday school and our ministries. We've had some individuals coming to REU. It's been a great month. But it went by quick, didn't it? Yeah. I remember sitting in high school. My high school teacher said, these are the best days of your life. And they go a little bit slower than when you get older. I'm like, yeah, right. Anybody else say that? Anybody else think that? Yeah. Kevin, he still thinks he's 25. Rich thinks he's 45, you know? Anyways, deacons meeting this Tuesday, business meeting, please be here this Wednesday, choir practice Thursday, pastor's house tonight, 6 o'clock for finger food, fellowship from the word and each other. Bring a chair. All right. Trust and obey. Hymn number 222. Hymn number 222. Trust and obey. All five verses, let's stand and sing unto the Lord. And as you stand and sing unto the Lord, ask Him within your spirit, Lord, what should I be trusting You for today? And Lord, what do I need to obey You in today? All five verses, hymn number 222, trust and obey. I can count 3-4 usually. 1, 2, 5.
Yeah.
Verse you just sang. Then in fellowship sweet, we'll sit at his feet. Or walk by his side. But we'll be where he is. We'll be where he is. Amen? Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. How do we accomplish that? We accomplish that by starting here, worshiping well, trusting fully, obeying well. And it really comes down to, I know I sang that just a moment ago. We never can prove the delights of his love. What's the next phrase? We just sang, until all on the altar. We lay. We'll never fully know God till we fully get rid of ourselves. I struggle with that. Anybody else?
Amen.
Yeah. What a great song. What a great way it was played, where there's the pause between that until all on the altar we lay for the favor he shows verse. Right there. Gives us a moment to think of what we just sang. We have an opportunity to worship in giving. Doing well, continue well, continue to ask God, what can I give in my time, my talent, my treasure? Because that's part of serving, it's part of worshiping. Joseph, could you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, come to you today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for another day like this. You give to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for our strength and our health and his head, Lord. Pray, Father, we'll never take small things for granted, Lord. Just always looking to you and giving thanks for all you've given us, Lord. Just thank now, Father, as come this time of service. To give back, Lord, to you what you've so graciously given us, Lord. And not only that, that these offerings and tithes that we do give, Lord, they go throughout the world to our ministers that we have, our missionaries. We want to thank Father for James Ruffin as he posted this morning, late last night, to be in prayer for them as they go forth in the plant of the churches there, Lord, to give them wisdom and discernment they need to make the choices and all the things that need to go well to be pleasing to you, Lord. And just thank Father that we have that opportunity to do that which you have to do, not only for our sakes, Lord, but for those that are across the way and those that are here on this continent we're on, Lord. But help us all be faithful. Pray and ask you to give us that strength and wisdom that we need daily, Lord, that we might overcome the temptations that we face, but that we can raise up.
How many individuals heard the bombs go off right next to your house last night? Anybody? No, me neither. How many of you missed a meal several times this last week because you didn't have food? Me neither. How many of us are struggling and have no medical doctor? No, me neither. Oh, we might be struggling, but we have some medical doctors and that to help us. How many of us are headed to hell because there's no Savior? Shouldn't be any of us. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. For God so loved the world. And yet, in America, we get so ungrateful at times. How many are thankful for a pastor? Pastor's wife. Church we can meet, the freedom to meet. I've got so much to thank him for, and you do too. Listen to the words of the choirs.
Feel free to sing along with us if you know the words.
For those of you who remember Jerry Hughes and Harold Hughes ministering here, both of them have passed away, but Becky Harold's wife sent a prayer request to me, and I forgot to mention earlier. I want to quick have a word of prayer. Mary is associated with a gentleman by the name of Ben. He passed away, so she asked to be in prayer for Mary Hughes. Ben and his family, they're having the funeral today. I'm sure Mary is grieving, and let's pray that God moves in her life. I'm not sure where Mary is with that. And Becky just asked that we as a church would pray because of how they ministered and knows we pray. So let's do that real quick, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Kevin. Lord, death can bring a pause to us. I do not know the circumstances. I do know some of the folks. Lord, I pray that your word would be shared this afternoon in the message. I pray that your spirit would be allowed to heal and move and direct. I pray for Mary. I pray for Becky. I pray for Ben's family. Lord, I pray that he would have known Christ, but those who don't know him will hear about him today and make that decision. Lord, may you move mightily. And thank you for the relationship that they had with us and the ministry they do, and may you use this prayer, the prayers of the individuals throughout the day who remember to pray, that your spirit can move freely there. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 this morning. And be in prayer this morning. And while we're singing, I'd like for you just to think about the goodness of God, but ask God to just really reveal himself to you this morning. I believe when we see him for who he is, it'll change our lives. And so, if you would, just ask God to speak to you and open your eyes to what he'd have for you to see this day.
Transform. nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood. It calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life.
Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 22 this morning. I want to endeavor to go into a message today entitled this, The Fathering of the Father. Last week, I preached a message. Young people are upstairs today? Last week, I preached a message on the beloved son and how that as children of God, if we've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we are the beloved sons and daughters of Christ. He said, beloved, now are we the sons and daughters of God. And so I'm thankful for what that brings, but knowing that in here, intellectually, as we read the Word of God, knowing this, but to experience it in here is a whole different story. To come into that, choose to enter into that relationship as being beloved of the Father, that's where the victory in life is. That's where the transforming takes place in our lives. That's where we find the peace, the happiness, and the joy. There's nothing greater that could happen to us than us to be the beloved sons and daughters of the Father. And today, I want to go on with this sort of thought that I've been trying to bring across. And I hope that I've tickled your interest of wanting to know more about God and what we have in Christ Jesus. And so today I want to further along with this, and I want to go and talk about the Father and His fathering to us, and how important that it is, and how thankful that we ought to be for that. And I made a statement last week, and I still stand by it today. What we rebel against is the fathering. I think that's the whole problem in our Christian life. We rebel against God fathering us and telling us how we ought to live our life because the reason we rebel is because we don't trust Him. It is so essential that we trust the Father, that we believe Him and that we trust Him. And once we trust Him and know certain things to be true about Him, we'll be more than glad to move into this belovedness on our part. We choose to come into this on our side. Though we know that we are beloved, we ought to want to move into that fellowship of belovedness. It's important. So, I just want us to think today. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I love this verse. We've used it several times as parents training up children. But really, there's a bigger lesson for us here to understand that it is the responsibility of the father to train up a child in the way that they should go. And if they're going to train up that child in the way that they should go, it means, you know, we need to train them up in the right way. And really, well, what we need to understand is that we need to train our children to know what the Father is all about, who He is, and what we are to Him. We can't miss the relationship before we go to the so-called, what we may think of, militant training. We see this and we all think, you know, we got to train them, man. We got to make sure our kids do this, make sure our kids do that. But we got to back up. If we're going to train them in the way that they should go, we're going to have to teach them about the relationship and the fellowship of the Father and the Son. The Father's work is a work of healing and an introduction into training. Every person has had the authority figures in their life, and much of what they perceived about God and they project onto God was shaped by the authority figures in their life. At the top of every person's authority list is their earthly father. As we have no problem recognizing that, whether you respect that authority in your life or not, but on the top of every person's list is their earthly father. Now, how our dads have handled our hearts has shaped us and contributed significantly to how we perceive God. I mean, dads, we got an awesome responsibility to shape our children's heart, to make sure they view the Father in the way that they need to view the Father. But let me remind you, you know, I'm thankful for good fathers, and I've had a good father in my life, but you know what? The truth, we are all imperfect. And at our best, if we could be as good as that as we possibly can, we're still going to pass on the wrong view of the Heavenly Father. But God help us that we can at least get them in the right direction and they can see God in us and they'll want that authority in their life when they understand the fellowship and the relationship of the Father and the sons and daughters. Now, we can have our theology right, but we can still have the Father wrong. We can have our theology right, but we can still have our view of the Father be wrong. There must be a journey from the head to the heart in the area of the Father. There must be a journey. I mean, we can read and we can see and we can think and we can say, you know what? This is who God is. But if it don't get to here, we're never going to experience what all that the Father has in store for us. I want to tell you, you know what? The reward of this relationship is the fellowship with the Father. I mean, He's a wonderful Father to us. We can't help everything about Him. Everything about Him is wonderful. Man, He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the most powerful being in the universe. He's God. Oh, and there's such tenderness and such love and such care, such capability, such protection. Oh, we can find safe and we can secure in this relationship. But we must journey. I mean, we can read about Him. Oh, He is our refuge. He is our strength. We can know this, but do we really experience in Him? Has it came to a place that He has awed us in our heart? The Father. Fathers are really looked down upon a lot in today's world. They're made fun of on television. They are criticized and they are missing in most of the homes today across our lands. And they got a bad rep and they just don't seem to be of an importance like they ought to be. But we got to get back to God's plan. We got to see the Father for who He truly is and what He ought to be. And it will take a hold on our life. Don't let the enemy paint a picture of you of the Father that's not appropriate. You know, starting from the varying degrees of inaccuracies, men and women must journey individually with God to discover both who they are and who they aren't. And just as importantly, they must discover both who the Father is and who He isn't. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 is a verse that brings a lot of
truth to our lives. It says, and be ye not conformed to this world. By the way, the world has an idea of what a father I look like. The world is trying to give you a picture of what a father is. And by the way, the world, by the way, is trying to give you a picture of what a man is, and they are so far from the truth. So far. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Or in other words, the journey of transformation from the head to the heart by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I can take this verse and use it this way, to knowing that God's good and acceptable and perfect will for us is this, that we live in the reality of beloved sons and daughters. Live in the reality of beloved sons and daughters. You know what? We can know something in our head but never experience in our spirit. If we ever to experience the belovedness in our spirit, we must quit measuring the Father by the experiences of our earthly fathers. No matter how good they may be, they fall way short of the Father. Besides, you know, dads are one authority, and there are many other authority figures in our lives that have molded us, that have accessed our hearts on this journey. Some have had a positive impact. Some have had a negative impact. We got mothers. We've got coaches. We've got teachers. We've got preachers. We've got bosses. And if we're not careful, we will allow these to give us the wrong view of the Father. I'm thinking of, I'll hold on that thought just for a moment. All of these reflect the reality of how we view the authority of our Heavenly Father. Now, I want to give you some questions this morning. I want you to stay along. How many is with me this morning? Can you raise your hand if you're with me this morning? All right, stay engaged, stay connected, because I believe this is going to give us some help this morning. Jacob, did you raise your hand? Okay, all right. Here are some questions we must answer in our journey in this discovery who the Father is. And I want to give you some questions. If you have a pen and a piece of paper, please write this down. First of all, here's a question that'd be good for all of us on a personal level to answer, to ask ourselves. How do I see the Father? How do I see the Father? You know, Hannah, whenever she was growing up, and she'd always come in and she said, "Daddy, does this look okay? Daddy, is this all right?" Whenever she'd come in and she'd put an outfit on many times, even before she'd go to school or whatever. And I would say, "Yes, honey, you look beautiful." You know, when I said that, she would just lighten up and she was like, "Man, I've been approved. Dad thinks I'm beautiful." And then you know what? Something happened as she got a little bit older. She still, I mean, always to the time she left the house, got married, she'd always come in and ask me to approve what she had on, what she was wearing, she'd ask, "Dad, is this okay?" And I would say, "You're beautiful," but you know, something changed. She would start saying every once in a while something like this: "You have to say that, you're my dad. You have to say that, you're my dad. I don't expect anything. Just because you're my dad, you have to say that I'm beautiful and it's okay." Well, you know what? That statement, that Hannah statement, expressed the way that I often felt about my Heavenly Father. I mean, I'm considering this question of how do I see the Father. You know, if we're not careful, we can have this view that you know, our Heavenly Father, that He had sent His Son to die for me, but that also that it was His duty to do that. You know, that it was a large inconvenience for Him, that He loves me, but then He has to. You know, in other words, my Father didn't love me just because He loved me. He loved me because He was supposed to love me, and it was a matter of obligation and not delight. Anybody ever view God that way? He can't help Himself. He just has to love me. I mean, I know I'm a terrible inconvenience for Him, but He's obligated. He's stuck with me. You know, the truth of the matter is, God delights in us. God delights in you. If your view is that you're inconvenienced, God, He's obligated Himself, and it's just His duty. He has to. I want to tell you, the truth of the matter is that He delights in us. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 19 says, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delights in me. Wow! He really enjoys doing good for me. He enjoys the interaction. He delights in being my father. And He delights in being your father. You know, if I feel that God is obligated to love me, that He does it because He has to, or begrudgingly, I am seeing Him the wrong way. He delights in healing us. He delights in instructing us. He delights in being the Father. He delights in us letting Him father us. He delights in it. The truth about the Father is He delights. This view of the Father makes me not want to, if I think of Him as someone who is obligated or begrudgingly loving me, this view of the Father makes me not want to rock the boat. When I mess up, I am inconveniencing Him when I go to Him for help. Ever felt that way? Well, I'm a mess. I done messed this up. You know what? Let's just stay here and chill, and maybe it'll all pass over. I don't want to go to Him, man. I don't want to bother the Father, man. I don't want to disappoint Him. By the way, folks, He already knows. He already knows. You can't fool God. You can't hide it from God. And you know what? You need to get it in your mind that, you know what here He's doing? He's sitting there with open arms. He's sitting there with open arms, ready for you to get honest with yourself. And come to Him. And He delights that you turn to Him. He delights in lifting you up out of the pit. He delights in delivering you from the mess that you're in. He delights in that. It's not an inconvenience. He wants to. Why? He says, cast your burdens upon me. Hey, He says, I care for you. He says, I delight. You are my joy. Oh, to be beloved sons and daughters. What is our view of the Father? How do we see Him? Many believe God is mostly mad at us and on the verge of getting even and setting some records straight. Others see God as distant and disinterested, unconcerned about our daily affairs. We must ask ourselves, how do I see Him? How do I see Him? He delights in being your Father. I'm sure there's a lot of times my dad was aggravated at being my father. Growing up, but you know what? I ain't never got to worry about that with my Heavenly Father. I'm sure that I inconvenienced my Father a lot. And then I'm sure there might have been thoughts that maybe He said, you know what? What was I thinking having this kid? You know what? My Heavenly Father would never say that. Oh, He says, I love Him. Oh, I delight when He comes to me with His problems and His troubles. His inconsistencies, the things He falls short of. I'm so thankful. I delight in that. Can you see the fellowship that's there? That's so pure and so thrilling and so joyous to have that closeness. Hey, we can never say we're not accepted. We can never say we're not loved. We can never say that God does not want to help us. But we gotta come to Him. The Lord is good. Now, I want at this point, I want you to pay close attention to the second question. Second question, I want you to really be honest with yourself and honest about it. Listen to this. Do I believe God is really good? Do I believe that God is really good? You know what? If a person lives with any level of mistrust in the Father in the heart, then becoming a beloved son or daughter will be unattained. Walking with the Father will be impossible, and fighting for the kingdom will not go well. Where many ministries fall short of their mark is here. They focus on people's behavior rather than reworking the foundation of who we are and who God the Father is. Man, we're good about it. We can do this right, do that right. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with us is we don't truly believe the Father's good and we don't trust Him. So we got to go back to the foundation of this fact that He is the good, good Father. You know what? Everything, oh, if we trust that he's good and everything, why in the world would we suspect that he wants to know? He's holding out on us. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God, seeing him for his goodness. How many of you would agree that God is good, and all the time that God is good? He puts, you know what, thinking that dealing with somebody's behavior before we deal with the foundation of the relationship of the fellowship of the father and the sons and daughters, it puts the cart before the horse. And we need to set the horse back in front of the front and beginning with what the heart of God is really like. Our biggest obstacle to becoming beloved sons and daughters are the lies we bought about our Heavenly Father and the belief that He is anything other than good. I mean, I don't want you to raise your hand, but has anybody ever thought that God was out to get him? Oh, he's out to make sure I don't have any fun or enjoy anything about life. God, I know that, but he's trying to keep me away from something that's going to be really good for me. Wow. He must not want me to have that for some reason. He wouldn't want me to have that because he knows it'd be good for me. It wouldn't be good for me. But I know it'd be good for me. Why does he hold me out? Why does God stop this? Has there ever been a time that you thought it was God something other than good? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance, neither shadow or turning. James 1:17. He can never change. He's always going to be forever good. That song we just sung, Forever, I think we need to put another forever in there and say he's forever good. He's forever, because he is forever. It's without turning. He's going to always be good. You know what? Some may view God as a little ticked off. That he's mad enough that they don't want to cross him or draw attention to themselves more than necessary. He's just waiting up there to do whatever he can. He's just waiting to smite me. He's just waiting to judge me. Oh, man, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. Oh, that's not the Father at all. Opening our hearts up to how we really view the Father is challenging, but it will be the beginning to an upgrade of our beliefs of the Father if we'll let it work on our hearts. Hey, how do we really and truly view the Father? How do we view him? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. You know what? It is impossible for us to love what we don't trust. Amen? Think about it. It is impossible for us to love what we do not trust. To be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved, said George MacDonald, a 19th century pastor from Scotland. The Father knows us completely and loves us unconditionally whether we trust Him or not. I would have to say, God is good. I'm going to read that one more time. The Father knows us completely and loves us unconditionally whether we trust Him or not. God is good. The question is, will we let Him love us? Will we be the beloved? Choosing to trust Him is the key. And Jesus said, you know what, if you love me, keep my commandments in John chapter 14 and verse 15. What? If we trust that God is good, if we trust that all the things He's given for us is good for our betterment and for our best, do we have any problem doing what He has us to do? Do we have any problem trusting Him? The reason we don't, because we don't trust Him. You know, sometimes I think about my own life and dealing with my father. And I can say I have the best father on earth. I do. I got a good father. But you know, there was times when he would try to help me, tried to direct me. I said, man, he's just no fuddy-duddy. Come on, Dad. It ain't the same way now as when it was when you was a kid. I mean, he's trying to teach me with biblical principles and everything like that. And I would think, what was that? What was I saying? What was I thinking? I don't trust that he knows what he's talking about. I don't trust that I know what he's talking about. Oh, maybe when something comes to our life, hey, young men, young women, I want you to listen to me in here. Adults, I want you to listen to me. There's going to be times in your life and there's going to be difficult decisions you must make, and you're going to have to decide whether you're going to trust the Father or you're going to trust yourself. And I want to tell you, yourself will leave you disappointed. You better always trust the Father and you'll have no regrets. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I want to tell you, there is no way possible that the Father can be anything other than good. The Lord is good, his stronghold in a day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him, Nahum 1:7. Is God good? Well, the significant moments of redemption, recovery, training, and initiating is becoming a beloved son depends on the answer to this foundational question. Is God good? How can a man or woman be the beloved if he or she does not trust the one from whom the love is coming and the form and fashion which it comes? Not truly believing and trusting that God is good finds your life in a mess, but trusting and believing that God is good will turn your mess into a miracle. I'm going to say it one more time. Not truly believing and trusting that God is good finds you and your life in a mess, but trusting and believing that God is good will turn your mess into a miracle. You know what? Running from the goodness of God will lead you to the pit, but turning to the goodness of God will pick you up out of the pit. The Father does not delight in your mess. He does not delight in your pit. He delights in delivering you from your mess and your pit. He delights. As long as we got the wrong view of God, if we're waiting for God just to strike us down, we think he's just sitting there waiting for us to mess up so that he can judge us. But the truth of the matter is, he loves you and he wants to pick you up out of that mess. He wants to pick you up out of that pit. He wants to change your mess into a miracle. But you know what? You're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to quit running from the goodness of God. Turn to the goodness of God. Trust and obey. You're going to have to understand you can trust the Father. He will never disappoint you. He will never hurt you. He's in the healing business, not the hurting business. He'll never tear you apart. He will restore you. He's in the building business, not the destruction business. The other father, the devil, that's the one who's in the destruction business and wants to ruin your life. But you can, and you know what? Sometimes we got to have an easier time trusting the old stinking Satan than we do the Heavenly Father. We buy his lies. We put him in our lives. And we let him mold our way of thinking that affects our heart about the truth. By the way, the Satan wants to attack the credibility of the Heavenly Father. It's his tactic. He always does this. Oh, I felt like preaching on that point there. That's good. He is good. You know what? If we do not truly believe that God is good, we will not allow the Father, him to father us as beloved sons and daughters. A distrustful man or woman will believe God isn't there and that God doesn't really care, or worse, that their life is a great disappointment to God. You ever felt that way? Oh, I'm just a great disappointment to God. He don't really care about me. He's not even really there. I don't really matter. I want to tell you, you are important to him. He loves you. You're so important to him that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins so you don't have to live in that misery thinking you're not good enough, that you're not able enough. I want to tell you, he loves you. All you got to do is turn to the goodness of God and quit running from it. Oh, and trust him. Psalms 103, verses 2 through 4 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who handleth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Forget him not. That's what he's done. Forget him not. Hey, he's a good God. God is good. Don't accept the lie of the enemy that started in the Garden of Eden. This is what it is. You can't trust God, Satan said. He's holding out on you. Surely you won't die. You know what? This lie continues today in the day that we live in. Hey, it causes people to distrust the heart of the Father. We must allow God to ask us the same question that he asked Adam in the garden. Where art thou? Question we must all ask ourselves this morning. Where are we? Where are you located? You know what? If we're not careful, sometimes things come along in our life, disappointments, something we didn't ever expect happen in our life, and we start questioning whether God is good or not. Let me tell you this. You can take this to the bank. There's no way it could ever. God is good. I encourage you to look at the goodness of God connected to your life. Hey, look up. Hey, smell the roses, so to speak. Connect the goodness of God to your life. We are so narrow-minded about things. And we're so easily to forget the goodness of God in our life. I don't want to preach my next point. I got to get going. I'm about to jump on it. Here it is. Is it possible we have failed to see the Father? That's the third question. Is it possible that we have failed to see the Father's goodness in our life? Think about this. John 14, verses 8 through 17. After all the disciples had been through with Jesus, the miracles, all the miracles, the teachings, the campfire, the long walks, the time among the multitudes, the private moments, the disciples didn't quite get it. They walked with him for 3 years. Said he'd done miracles that the books can't even contain all the things that he did do. They were there. They were witnesses of this thing, but they didn't quite get it. Right up to the crucifixion, there was a misunderstanding among his closest friends just exactly who he was and how it was all going to work. And then in the late part of hours of Jesus' life, one of the closest friends, Philip, asked him if he would do what? Show us the Father. And then Jesus said these words: "Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work." You know what? If they could miss him, could I not miss him? If they could miss the Father, could you not have missed the Father? Could you miss the Father in your life? Oh, I think it's so important that we look and we see the goodness of God. You know what? You're not here by some chance. You're not here by some accident, some fate. There's no such thing as karma. There is a good God in heaven that is so good to us. And I want to tell you, you better not miss it. I look at these young couples right here that are together today. They're the ones that just got married this summer. You know what? It's not by just some chance that you guys happen to be married. It's not by some chance you happen to be in the house of God together this morning. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and he's a good God. Dalton, I'm going to tell you. You know why you're here this morning? Because God's good. I've been praying for you this week because I hadn't seen you for the last few weeks. Been wondering where you're at. God's good. Don't miss it. Don't miss the Father. How God wants to be. Hey, young people, you don't have to live life alone. There's a Father in heaven that loves you, and He wants to direct your path. He wants to direct your every day, every moment of your life. He's never going to leave you alone. He wants only good for your life. Hey, trust Him. Don't trust everybody that's running around. Don't be easy to give your heart to here and to give your heart to that. Give your heart to the Father, and you'll never be disappointed. Your life don't have to be a mess. Your life can be something very beautiful. There's something that can be great for the glory of God, because you can trust the Father, but don't miss the Father. Don't miss Him in this life. He's real. Oh, and He's so good. Don't miss Him. Are you starting to think back on your life? Can you see how God's been good? Rich, I've heard some of your testimony how when a young man, you were going down the wrong road, but because God is good, God turned your life around. He put you in a place where you could grow instead of a place where you're going again you spiral downhill. God was good to give you some parents that wanted to point you to the Lord. I want to tell you, God is good. Don't miss Him. Don't miss Him. Oh, I think about the Martins and how your life has been directed to even come to this place. And some of the things you've shared with me, I want to tell you, don't miss the Father. Because if you miss the Father, you fail to see the connection of the goodness of God to your life. Don't miss Him. Hey, the disciples missed Him. He said, well, would you show us the Father? Well, everything about it, Jesus' ministry was all about the Father and His goodness and His love towards us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, you know what? Jesus was notorious for love. Seeing the Father, you've seen me. He was notorious for love. Everywhere He went, He loved on people. Should that what showed what real love was all about as He healed the people. You know what? He even wanted them to come along and walk with Him. It talks about it in Matthew chapter 12 that He stopped healing, in fact, because they did not want Him. They just wanted the miracles. I'm afraid so many times we're not careful. We want all the byproducts of the Father and the relationship with the Father, but we don't want the Father. We want the miracles, but we don't want the healer. In Luke chapter 17, we see the only one out of the ten wanted Him. He said, where are the other nine? When we get Him, we get the healing. Healing that He wants to give. Jesus was always showing us the love of the Father, revealing the Father to us. Almost every parable that Jesus ever spoke is an invitation to see the Father. You know what? A huge part of Christ's mission was to set the record straight about the Father's heart. Don't miss the Father. Jesus says, you know what? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did you not listen to the parables I've told you? Did you not listen to everything? Hey, it's all about the Father. You know what? For example, if someone's thinking that God is mad God, just wanting a chance to punish us or to get even, the story of the prodigal son would be look a whole lot different, wouldn't it? You know, we focus a lot of times on the prodigal son, but the Father. Think about this. If that father had been one that was mad, a little bit ticked off, ready to do whatever he had to do, I mean, that son came home and he saw him, he wouldn't have been there, first of all, waiting for him. Secondly, he wouldn't run to him and put his arms around him and kiss him and put a ring upon his finger, a robe upon him, shoes upon his feet, kill the fatted calf. No, what he would have done when that boy came in, he said, now you're going to get your punishment. Now you're going to be put in the penalty box. By the way, that young man, he was okay with that because he said, you know what, I'm just going to come back. I'll just be a servant. I don't have to be the beloved son no more. I just want to be the servant because he at least gets something to eat. But the father accepted him with open arms. Jesus said, I'm trying to set you right on your view of the Father. You know, I beat up that older brother that was there, that's one who stayed and didn't spend all of his money and inheritance on partying and everything else and tried to help the Father. I said, you know what, he had a bad attitude. He was still, he was a prodigal son. He was wasting everything he was getting. But you know what, I got to thinking about him this week. I think he was hurting. Because he's seen how he knew how the Father was. And he's seen how that other brother had hurt the father. I don't say he was right and getting mad and all the things he did, but you know what? Can you imagine? He stayed with the father and he was in that belovedness, but here was that brother that took off and he hadn't responded right, and he'd done exactly everything that he could. And he's seen the father waiting every day, and his heart hurting and his heart aching. All the father wants to do is be a father to his son to help him. He don't want to see him down there feeding the stinking pigs in the pig lot. He wants to put a ring on his finger. He wants to put a robe on him. He wants to put shoes on his feet. Oh, he wants to celebrate. This is my son who was dead, but now he is alive. Oh, he's seen the hurt on the father because the son did not want him to father him. Oh, I want to tell you, everything that Jesus done was to show us the Father. How do you see him? Could it be possible maybe you've missed him? Oh, may we turn to Him today. May we see Him today for who He is. And I'm going to leave you with this today, and I'm done. This question. Have I been set up? Have I been set up? Anybody like getting set up? Yeah? I mean, I don't like getting set up to fall. But have I been set up? You know, but because we are meant for such glorious and weighty love, we all are set up for a fall. Disappointment, heartache, and rejection. It is a setup because we have an adversary, and his name is Satan. I don't mind calling him out this morning. His name is Satan. He's the devil. We have an adversary, and he's the great villain of our story. He is doing his best to make sure we do not know and experience the unconditional love of the Father. There are dark forces in every man and every woman's story that make sure they feel, hear, and experience. You're alone. You trust no one. Arrange for life and love, acceptance, and worth for yourself. You can't depend on anyone. I want to tell you, the devil, he uses this and he'll destroy homes. He'll destroy husbands and wives. He'll destroy fathers and children's relationship, mom and children's relationship. Oh, he wants to distort these things. He wants to twist these things so that our view of the Father will be wrong. And we want to say, you know what? I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of waiting for someone trying to hurt me and punish me. But I want to tell you, the Father's not going to hurt you and punish you, but Satan has set you up to think that God is going to do, the Father is going to do what the Satan wants to do to you. He's a deceiver. He's a liar and the author of it. Oh, this setup produces a philosophy that one must perform in order to obtain love, validation, acceptance, and worth, and to create distance in order to protect myself from the pain of not experiencing the love I crave. I was reading a story about a young man. He loved to play basketball, and he was good at basketball, and he went to college, and he got, I think he walked on the team. He'd worked really hard finding a place, and he was finally getting some playing time, and then he hurt his knee. Man, he had lived for basketball almost his whole life, striving to be the best basketball player that he could be. He makes the team, he gets to where he's starting to play, and he hurts his knee. Well, man, it really just sort of drove everything. I mean, it's just like he had to question everything about life. I mean, why in the world? Say, I'm sitting here, I've worked all this time, now I'm not even able to play. Well, he went on, his knee began to heal, and he began to practice and practice and practice. And he would shoot, and he would shoot, and he would shoot. He was hoping to get back to the point where he could be playing some basketball on that college game team. And he said, he just kept on and kept on. And he said, man, I was even pushing through some pain I was having in my knee. And he said, I just love this game. I love this game. I love this game. And he said, it wasn't an audible voice, but he said, God just seemed like he spoke to him right there in his body. He said, but the game doesn't love you. The game doesn't love you. That young man had tried to find his acceptance, his validation, in something that didn't love him back. I'm going to tell you what, if we can grab hold of this, change your lives. Beloved sons and daughters, He loves us. We're accepted. We're validated in Him. We don't have to perform to be accepted. We don't have to achieve to be accepted. And you know what? When we say, you know what, I love the Father, we can proudly say that He loves us back. Why in the world do we love so much stuff that doesn't love us back? Oh, the fathering of the Father. Recognize there's a setup. Identify the lie. Speak and trust the truth. You are loved by God. He's the good Father, beloved son and daughter. Love changes us. You agree with that? Love changes us. There's been a setup. Satan wants us to think that God does not love us. He doesn't care about us. He does not delight in us because he knows that love changes us. By the way, Satan is incapable of loving us. Sometimes, you know, I read that verse and talks about it in the end times, they will call good evil and evil good. There were people that come to think that, you know what, Satan loves them and God hates them. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, we've allowed these experiences of life and the things we've gone through to mold our way of thinking that we might not say that out loud, but we're living like it. When we experience our Father's loving us, it heals us, restores us, and then sets us loose, only if we can come to Him. The reason one does not come to Him is because they do not trust Him. Loving is trusting, and trusting is loving. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen to me, everyone in this room, listen to me. You have a good Father. He is better than you thought. He cares. He really does. And He's kind and generous. He's out for your best. And this is absolutely central to the teaching of the Word of God. And it's absolutely essential for the center of your belief of Him and who He is. Don't settle for anything less than living as a beloved son and daughter. Now, I'm going to sing a song this morning, and I just want to invite you. Are you willing to come to the Father this morning? I mean, is there anybody in here that would, honestly say that God's not being good to them? I want you to just come up tonight to the altar and offer your praise of thanksgiving to Him for His goodness in your life. If you recognize that God is so good and He's been so good in your life, just thank Him.
Been looking back on life's winding roads to all the familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no other way to say it but to say God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. I know I've had some hard times. I wouldn't trade one if I could. Cause through it all, God's been good. Life moves on and I can see I cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more joy than pain. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, and God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Had my share of hard times, but I wouldn't trade one if I could. Cause through it all, God's been good. Let's stand to our feet. God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He's been. But the best way I could say it is to say, sing it with me. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. I know I've had some hard times. I wouldn't trade one if I could. Come through it all, God's been so, so, so good.
We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer, but I want to give you just a little bit of homework for this afternoon. We're having service at the house this evening. Hope that everyone can come up. We'll have provide all the drinks, and everybody bring their finger food. We have a good time eating. Not your finger, but finger food, okay? I don't want to eat your finger. So I want some homework for you. I want you to, this afternoon, not to get so busy that you can't think about this, but I want you to connect the goodness of the Father to your life. Take time this afternoon, just connect the goodness of your Father. So I want you to think of ways you have experienced His goodness in your life. I want you to write a couple of those things down at least. And then I want you to share it with others. I'd like to encourage you tonight. I'm going to call this sort of a show and tell this evening. Give some people the chance to testify of the goodness of God in their life. I want to tell you, you don't realize how powerful it is to hear other brothers and sisters share the goodness of God in their life. And it will help someone. There may be someone there that is struggling to see how good God has been in their life, but through your testimony, it will help them see the goodness of God in their own life. So I'd like to encourage you to share it this evening. We'll have a time of testimonies, sharing how God's been good. And we're just going to have a family time. I mean, come on. We ought to be able to talk amongst the family, shouldn't we? We should be able to share our deepest thoughts and dreams among the family. We just need to get back to getting into this beloved sons and daughters. That means we're beloved brothers and sisters, right? And so please try to be there this evening at 6 o'clock if you can. We got shade there underneath the maple tree, and we'll have some cornhole set up. Sean, you've already supposed to be bringing yours. Chris already said she's going to, and I got mine. So we're just going to have a good time of fellowship. There's nothing like fellowshipping with like-minded family members. So be there if you can. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Sean, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. You're dismissed.